No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, and Happy New Year. How are you?
Morena, Rachel. I'm good, thanks. Happy New Year as well.
Yes, it's all kicking straight back into it. We've already got texts from the listeners, so we might dive into one that just came through before from someone who's working in retail, where they said that themselves and many of their colleagues have become increasingly concerned by their employers' contempt for COVID precautions. There's been some issues around some sort of kind of conspiracy theory sounding stuff at work, and then someone brought in screens which they paid for out of their own pocket, which then the boss didn't want to put up. They've also had multiple occasions where they've served maskless customers who didn't have exemptions, even though there's an indoor masking mandate there, and the boss has been not very good about supporting the workers in that space. It also sounds like some of the staff have had a bit of verbal abuse from customers, and they've not been backed up by their boss there as well. It's sounding like not a great space to be at the moment. What is some advice you'd have for this person and their colleagues, because it sounds like a bit of a tricky time?
I think that workers need to take a really hard line on this, because it is unacceptable. I just want you workers to remember that in this current environment, you are a really, really important asset. I hate to dehumanize workers in this way, but to your boss, right?
Yeah.
And you have the right to to be in a healthy and safe work environment.
Mm.
I would encourage you to collectively say absolutely unacceptable. I would encourage you to use health and your health and safety reps, if you have one, to have that conversation. If you don't, demand a health and safety rep election, ACP, so that you have one, from now on. In a COVID environment, you need a health and safety rep. Every workplace should have a health and safety rep. So let's draw the line and say that. Like, this is what I'm going to encourage everybody listening to do, is like, go figure out, go talk to your boss about having a health and safety rep election and elect a health and safety rep. They have to be trained. They that knowledge is empowering in the workplace, because you know your rights.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you are allowed to refuse to do, work that is unsafe. So that is something important for people to know as Omicron kind of looms over us. You have the right to refuse unsafe work. There are certain things, procedures and kind of things that you might need to follow that I'm not going to get into right now, but it's a really good time to join your union, because if you're in a position where you need to refuse to do unsafe work, you want the backing of a union behind you, okay? And you want to be able to call them and get the advice that you need. So Omicron's coming. Join a union, because that's going to be the best protection, and we've seen that in Australia, right? We've seen huge amounts of people just joining unions in
totally.
Australia at the moment, because they need to protect us. We need to protect ourselves. So
I was just laughing at the grim kind of tagline for 2022: Omicron's coming, join your union.
The only one we can do, we'll save ourselves. The government. Not our government, but Australia.
Yeah, exactly. You make a good point, though. Getting unionised is a really good thing to do, and getting a health and safety rep is a really important thing to do. Mm. We've talked about it a lot before on the show, but for people who are wondering a wee bit about what the health and safety rep means, it kind of goes beyond your workplace, eh? It's a government-level thing, essentially, to have a health and safety rep. You kind of have rules and regulations that go beyond your boss, pretty much. So
you have responsibilities that it's health, that's legislation, and that was legislation that the trade union movement and working people really fought for, and so you have you honestly, as a health and safety rep, you have power in the workplace. You can report things to WorkSafe if it gets bad enough. They have to then be in contact with your employer. So you have a lot of power. Health and safety reps have a lot of power that we don't necessarily always use.
Yeah, yeah.
But as we're talking about now, there's a big health and safety issue. Like, the pandemic has just really made it, really acute. So demand a health and have a health and safety rep election. elect a health and safety rep, get them trained up. You know, the best time was yesterday, but the best time now is today. So yeah, go off and do that, everybody.
If you have a bit of a tricky situation with your boss, like this person who's texted in, how do you go about getting a health and safety rep set up? Do you have to go through your boss, or if you tell your boss that you're going to do it, can you just go off and do it? How does that work?
Yeah, it's tough in small businesses. You know, large businesses, they are legally obligated to elect health and safety reps. So you can't not have a health and safety rep in a large business. But I think in a small business, and I might need to check the numbers on that. I think it's 20 employees or less. Legally, you don't have to. It's more of a like choice. You know, you can or you can't. You don't have to. I'm assuming this is a small business. That's why I sort of say that you do need to exert a little bit of pressure. And I know that can seem daunting, but honestly, like, your boss is not going to, it's not a reasonable thing to decline if you do work at a small business. So I would just be putting a lot of pressure on them.
Cool.
And now in terms of this boss in particular, you know, I would be recording these instances, honestly, because they're, you know, and calling MB or maybe WorkSafe at a later point if things do hit, you know, if shit does hit the fan.
Yeah.
But, like, taking a record of these, like, incidents and, like, the lack of response from your boss, it's just a good thing to do, especially if you're worried about it escalating, if, you know, if things do ramp up with the pandemic. So, yeah, just keep a record if you're not, like... If you can't do anything about it at the moment, even just keeping a record of it, the date and the time it happened, and, you know, maybe your coworkers can do the same, it's a good idea, just in case you do need to take further action. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that's very good advice. We've got some other questions that have come in over the last week. What have you got there, Zoe?
Yes, this person says, regarding working from home, do you know the legal stuff around it? I'm kind of keen to keep doing it, but don't know if there's a general law or something that specifically says you should definitely be allowed to work from home. Does it vary from workplace to workplace? I work an office job.
So there's definitely not a law that says you should definitely be allowed to work from home, but we can work on that if people are keen. Look, there are a couple of things around flexible working arrangements that, you know, that employees can ask to change their work arrangements, the places, the hours or days, and the employers have to consider it. And you can find out a little bit more about that on, you know, the Employment New Zealand website. So it's what it's called, flexible working arrangements in the business.
In the biz.
And it is something your employer does need to consider. They can of course reject it, but I think a lot of office jobs are kind of coming to. I mean, I don't think it's something employers necessarily want. For various reasons, mostly because they want to surveil you and make sure that you know you're doing work. But you know, it's a low trust environment out there in some places. But with the pandemic, I think it has been normalized, and you're certainly entitled to have a conversation with that around with your boss. And on the Employment New Zealand website, there's actually a form as well, so it's quite a formalized process if you want to go down that route. But there's nothing particularly in law about working from home. It has become really normalized, so I think, you know, that's actually also something that if you are in a unionized workplace, you can have a discussion about that while you're bargaining for your new contracts. So that can be something that's actually in your contract, that you can work from home. Or you can't work from home. So that's something, so it's something you could probably also negotiate with your boss individually, but I would, obviously more likely to be successful in a group. So unfortunately it kind of does vary from workplace to workplace. There is that stuff about flexible work arrangements. So it is kind of there to have that conversation, but there's nothing necessarily set in stone. But, you know, I think if you've been able to work from home, you have been working from home, you've done your job, you know, there's been, you know, no issues. I think your employer would be in a pretty tough position to say no. Especially if you guys, again, you know, if you all wanted to do it. But, you know, there's other considerations for them. They're paying rent at offices and things like that. You know, they're trying to, and they also want to watch you, just being honest.
Yeah, there's a lot of considerations there, but definitely it sounds like something you can totally feel entitled to start that conversation. And as you say, it's always better to start that conversation with maybe a few colleagues who feel the same way, so you're not on your own. Solidarity forever, always. I think we've got time for one last one, Justine, before we have to go. So we might jump to this person who's texted and saying that they've just started their summer hospo job. They're a uni student and they just want some tips on what are some good things to keep in mind while they're working over this hospo summer period. They know it's a little bit easier to be mucked around when you're not going to be there for a long time. I'm sure everybody's got at least one or two anecdotal friends or friends of friends who've had a rough time in that particular position. What's some advice you'd have for people working in that space?
Read over your contract, to be honest. And kind of carefully, maybe get someone else to read over it as well. The things you want to look out for is a 90-day trial, which, you know, that was abolished. So that was in the law. That's been abolished. Some pretty shady employers are still putting it in contracts. So once you sign a contract, you kind of waive your right to be justly, not, you know, unjustly terminated for any reason in the first 90 days of your employment.
Yeah.
So just have a look out for that, because, like, that's a red flag to me, to be honest. And I know that it is in quite a few contracts. I would be having, if you feel confident enough, I would actually be having a conversation with your employer about them and be like, I'm not really comfortable signing this.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd look out for is if you're sort of talking about, I would assume everybody would want, like, set hours in their contract.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not many people are really true casuals. So say you're looking for 20 hours a week during the summer holidays, you might want to get that in writing in the contract, because you don't want to be mucked around and have a sort of essentially a 0 hour contract and no certainty around how many hours you're going to be able to work, especially because I know people aren't receiving study leave, so there is that added financial stress.
Totally.
That's the sort of stuff that I would be thinking about, reading your contract, getting someone else to read over it, having those conversations, on the lookout for the 90 day trial thing, on the lookout for no detail around your hours of working if you are looking for, you know, particular hours and you've had that discussion with your employer. Anything else shady that you that you doesn't sound right or doesn't look right. I know that a lot of people, you know, for summer jobs, you're not going to necessarily join a union. And to be honest, I get that. But, you know, if you do see something shady, sometimes it is good to have that as well. So
totally.
Just think about it.
Yeah. Well, Justine, thank you so much for your sage advice this morning. It's great to have you back on the show. I hope you had a nice holiday.
And good.
That's good to hear. We've all deserved a bit of a break. And we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good. Cheers, Rich.
Ka kite.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you.